Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. This is Lizanne, the moderator for your conference call. Welcome to the post-results conference call of AIA Engineering Limited. We have with us today the management team of AIA Engineering Limited. At this moment, all participants are in the listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, you may please press star and one. I would now like to turn the conference over to AIA Engineering management team. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yes, thank you so much. Very warm welcome to everyone. We are happy to report end of this year, fiscal year 22-23. And the numbers for this year are very, very encouraging. You know, we've seen growth after last few years of stall on account of various reasons. We've ended the fourth quarter with sales of 73,500 tons on a production of 74,674 tons, translating into sales of 1251 crores, an EBITDA line item of 379 crores, and profit after tax of 268 crores. Major highlights, you know, for this quarter was when raw materials. Also, I just, you know, talk about the highlights for the year. We've done 291,000 tons for the full year. That's up from 260,000 tons full year last year, with a top line of 4,800 crores compared to 3,500 crores for full year last year. EBITDA of 1475 crores, up from 877 crores, and profit after tax of 1055 crores, up from 619 crores. Couple of highlights, you know, for this year. This year has been, you know, the first full year after the COVID interruptions and you know, the setback that we got for duties, shipping costs going up, etc. And happy to, we feel that we're back into that growth mode. In this quarter, you know, there's a reduction in other income related to Forex, and that's largely, you know, on account of the changes in currency that we saw over the at the end of March. Of course, the Indian rupee has since recovered, and some of that will get reversed. When I compare sequentially Q3 to Q4, there is about a 5% reduction at a EBITDA level in currency terms, and there's another 5% on account of your cost of goods sold, and that largely reflects, you know, increased change in product mix. There is also price pass through, which is adjustment on the lower side, and we also had, you know, actually raw material go up this quarter from the previous quarter. So while the selling price was, you know, reflecting the lower raw material price previous quarter and hence a lower selling price, but my cost on the other side has gone up a little bit. So on that account, you know, there's a 10%, you know, almost a 10% sequential reduction in EBITDA, and that's in line with our commentary last quarter that this is a super normal margin, and when there's a pass through both ways, and there will be a pass through, you know, when raw material prices go down, and that's reflected in this quarter's numbers. Of course, the raw material prices have since gone up, you know, last quarter, and we're seeing a little higher raw material price this quarter as well. And that's a constant situation. So we don't spend time estimating the future, imagining the future and where it will be. Thankfully, our business model allows us that full pass-through. So it will be where that numbers ultimately end up with. Some key other numbers are export benefits are a little higher than the first three quarters because, you know, there's a 1% RoDTEP, remission of duties and taxes on export, you know, that has started on grinding media. So there's a little bit of increase on that account. So it's at 21 crores 75 lakhs compared to 16.90 in the sequential third quarter. Our treasury income is at 48 crores compared to 42, largely in line with our cash. We are at about 2,550 crores of net cash, and the treasury, you know, reflects that. But the main change is in the foreign exchange, which was at 75 crores approximately in the third quarter. That's reduced to about 15 crores. So 60 crore sitting in that account, and I think some part of that will get reversed as we go forward because of the weakening rupee. But again, that's a change that will keep happening on an ongoing basis. I think our working capital is largely in line, receivable at 63 days comparable to the third quarter. WIP and raw material, again, at number of days term is largely flat. Our growth, our 73,000 tons, you know, half, three-fourths of that, about 48,000 tons came from mining, and 25 is non-mining, which is cement and thermal power and quarry, you know, the three industries that we service. And so for the full year, we're about 192 in mining versus 170 in the full year last year. And non-mining has grown from about 90,000 tons to 98,000 tons. And that's the breakup for the growth of that 30,000 tons. A few other key numbers, if I were to reflect on, we are as a business, we are doing some restructuring of our plants, our manufacturing footprint as far as our non-grinding media is concerned. There's some amount of automation, upgrade, debottlenecking, creating some warehouses, you know, etc. to allow for some, improvements in operations. So we have overall earmarked 200 crores, you know, towards that reorganization, you know, which is land for that warehouses. We need to build some extra storage places, some decongestion, automation, you know, and we're doing some extra molding lines, which will not enhance capacity, just increases our ability to do some type of parts. So all of that put together is about 200 crores. As a result, there will be operational and productive outcomes, but there will also be about 20,000 tons of non-grinding media capacity that we will see an increase with, and it should take about, you know, 4 to 6 months for some of that to come through. So I think we expect between October and December that additional 20,000 tons of capacity, non-grinding media capacity, to come up. So over and above that 200 crores, we are already working on a grinding media project, which is the 80,000 ton enhancement. That project, you know, from where we stand, some delays in that execution on the design, procurement, etc., will take up to end of 2024 to get implemented, and there's about 150 crore capex on that account. So we are at 350 crore total capex, both these line items, and about a 50 crore wind and renewable energy investment, you know, that we are looking to do. So after that investment, after the 50 crore renewable, we should, on this year's power consumption, almost 40% of our power will then come from captive and renewable sources, you know. And this is largely constrained by the regulatory aspect within, you know, the state that we operate. I think from, we were at 18 or 20% a year before, this year we are at about 23-25%. 27%, and we'll go up to 40-42%, you know, going forward on current year production. As we grow production and consume more, you know, and have more connected load, probably we can add more captive renewable sources and take it from there. So about a total 400 crore broad capex, you know, the grinding media capex will be between this year and next, you know, let's say half and half. The debottleneck for a non-grinding media, and the wind will be surely, you know, some part of it may be next year, but wind is surely this year, the other part. So as of now, this is the total capex, you know, spread between this year and next, about 400 crores. Okay, so besides that, we are happy to announce that the board has today declared a dividend of 16 rupees a share, and that will roughly be about 150 crores of outflow for the company. So that's what we are happy to report. Our order book is at about 770 crores, but, you know, as we explained, that these are orders, not reflecting our contractual commitments underlying those orders. From a business standpoint, you know, multiple efforts and which we have all kept talking about in the past, where we are doing interventions with the customer in terms of our mill lining abilities, mill liners, and the whole proposition that we have, you know, on that side. We continue to focus on the chrome benefits, you know, as far as the down process, the benefits are concerned for gold and copper, and continue to reinforce, you know, with existing customers and adjacent customers in those geographies. I think with that said, I think we look to be comfortably placed to grow at a 30,000 plus rate as of now, and continue with a guidance of 20-22% operating margin and more if we can, but that's the model going forward. Our realization per kilo is at 170, which is comparable to what it was last quarter, and it reflects the a product mix change also. I think there's a little more of casting this quarter versus pending media, and that's why you're seeing a. Otherwise, given the price pass through, this would have been 3-4% lower. That's the only thing that I would remark about. I'll have Sanjay Bhai, share his opening thoughts and we can get to.
Yeah. Good evening to all participants. Thanks, Kunal. Just a couple of very quick observations from my side. So one, of course, this year end and quarter marks a milestone for AIA in the sense that we have crossed, the total income has crossed 5,000 crores with 5,143 crores being the total income reported. And the profit also has simultaneously crossed the important benchmark of 1,000 crores with our PAT after minority interest reporting at 1,055. Couple of very quick observations. If you see in the last call, we were very candidly clear that this 39% should not be read as something which is constant, and we've been sort of vindicated in the sense that that one of 75 odd crore of FX gain has significantly reduced, plus the effect of the pass-through on the negative side has come in this quarter, which has resulted into the operating EBITDA becoming in the more realistic range of about 30-odd%. And on an entire year basis, it is about 24-25%, which is also reflecting what we have been saying. As we know, a quarter-over-quarter amendments and adjustments are not something that we look at, but it is more on an annual basis, and that is what we were actually quite clear about. Second point, in our presentation, we are talking of a capex of 200, but actually the total debt 200 is only with respect to ongoing brownfield expansion plus the wheeled part. And the real actual picture is what, as Kunal said, 400 crores. So we'll also make some adjustments and amendments, and because it's a little bit in a hurry, so we will be again uploading it. But this is just for the benefit of all. Broadly, that the current year broadly capex is 400, bulk of it are close to 300 coming this year, and it's about 50-100 going next year. This is a broad, and lastly, all our growth drivers are very much intact. The business opportunity is absolutely the same. Tremendous efforts all over the key markets are being on with the total focus on mining, conversion from force to hydrogen, that being our mainstay. Lot of new business directions are also being added through mill liner efforts. So all in all, the story remains the same. We are all remaining equally committed and excited. And I think going forward, we should be able to see how the things unfold. I think with this, I request the moderator to open the house for Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone and await your turn to ask your question when guided by the facilitator. If your questions have been answered before your turn and you wish to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and two key. You are requested to use handsets while asking a question. The first question is in the line of Ashutosh Tiwari from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I could understand the right. Congrats on those set of numbers. So firstly, on the realization part, you mentioned that obviously this quarter is a bit higher due to this mix change with castings being higher. But that number, say 3-4% lower than this, will that sustain going ahead, or is there some pass-through of threat or RM or anything remaining?
What are you saying? Whether this 170 will sustain?
So you said 170 is maybe 3-4% higher than normal, and because of castings and all. So if you remove, like say, then 160 plus is a sustainable number going ahead in terms of realizations per ton per kg?
Hello. Hello.
Members of management team, we are not able to hear you. Hello. Ladies and gentlemen, we seem to have lost the audio from the management's line. Please stay connected while we try to regain the audio. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for patiently holding. We now have the line for the speaker reconnected. Over to you, sir.
Yes, is Ashutosh also on the line?
Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah, Ashutosh, 170 at current raw material should hold. It's a product mix issue, so to that extent it can change. Maybe as of current raw material and current situation, you know, between 160 and 170 is where it should stay. I mean, there are too many variables for us to answer, give an objective answer, no?
Yeah, I got it. But the freight cost, everything is now fully passed on. There is no something on that side, nothing remaining as such.
No. It's fully passed on to the customer, and it's reducing. So there is some amount of pass through that will happen.
It will happen in next quarter.
Yeah,
it is an ongoing process.
Then the margins are probably settling at higher level than what probably is a longer term thing. Maybe because Maybe South Africa was lower margin, and that's why is that the reason why margin is probably settling at higher level?
I don't think there are plenty variables, no, for us to say one thing like that. But your question was freight. There's some amount of pass through to the customer that will still happen over. That's an ongoing process, like Sanjay Bhai said. I mean, these are costs, and will our ability is there to pass through, you know, and that will be. That's all I think we can help you with just now on it.
Okay, got it. And secondly, you mentioned this 20,000 tons of non-grinding media capacity. This is liner or castings?
Castings. We have the whole order cluster, no, where we do...
That. But that is mainly for cement, right?
No.
Casting.
We have mill lining, we're doing vertical mills, we're doing, thermal power stuff over there. And it's integrated with our new plant also, right? So we are doing some work with the new plant also, where the flexibility of the parts, the parts we can make, you know, have require some amount of equipment, and sometimes you have to invest. Your headline capacity is there at 50, right? But then your ability to produce what is also, we are doing, you know, right from 50 kilos to 20 tons. And it's not always possible to estimate, you know, we take a certain amount of estimate to say, let's start with this equipment. So just now, based on what we are forcing for a non-casting, there will be some amount of investment just to widen our product portfolio within, you know, the sizes of castings, you know, that we are handling right now. Of course, and these are older plants. We need to bring in automation. We need to decongest, right? So we are retooling them for next 10 years, basically.
Okay. Got it. And liner, how much was the volume this year?
Liner volume is about 25,000-26,000 tons.
Okay, and they should grow to around 35,000 plus next year, like 24?
We'll do 10,000 each year. I mean, 25 That's should be closer to 35 next year, at least, you know. I'm talking of mining liners.
Yeah. Okay. And in terms of, let's say, demand outlook, is there any change or demand remains strong? And which metals right now are doing better for you in terms of growth prospects?
I think the same is business as usual, because there is zero underlying business economic trend that affects our business. Gold and copper and cement are commodities that will and iron, they will continue to be produced and used, you know, with a small variation here and there. Their end price may change to market sentiment, economic, etc. But I don't think it just...
It's the same.
We continue to do the boring job. You have to go to the customer, do all of that, right? And we are replacing, we're converting from an incumbent to us. That's the journey that we have to do. Generally unaffected by global factors. Higher shipping price and all of those things are more important to us than really how is gold doing or how is copper doing, you know, or how is iron doing.
No, no, I meant mainly that our customization basically work in copper and gold. So will copper and gold be
nothing
the...
Nothing to report over last quarter or two, Ashutosh.
It's the same, Ashutosh. Our focus is absolutely the same.
Okay. Got it. Okay, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is on the line of Ravi Swaminathan from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats on a good set of numbers. My first question is with respect to the mining efforts that we are taking in terms of new geographies, etc. Any thoughts on that? Are we looking at newer countries? In terms of addressable market, any thoughts on that?
So, Ravi, actually, all the key markets which are very, very important would include, of course, the North American market, the LATAM. They remain the markets of absolute star focus. Australia remains a very important market. CIS remains a very important market. So, all those markets, you know, Ravi, the whole issue is that as we explained, it's an agonizingly long process of conversion, and the market, the dynamics, everything remain absolutely the same. Chile, Peru, these are all extremely critical. Brazil, so similarly North America, Canada, they are all very, very important. Gold and copper remain the key driving force. Iron, of course, is there. So it's absolutely the same. Yes, new customer development continues. Lot of new mines are under discussion, negotiation. Again, onboarding, important, you know, good number of people, training them continuously. That all processes have to continue to make sure that our bandwidth is available. And conversion, as you know, is a very long process. So we are at it, absolutely.
Got it, sir. One more question. So working capital has kind of improved this year significantly.
Yes, you're right.
Any reason behind that?
I would say a little more conscious efforts, and also the fact that because of improvement in shipping times and other things, the inventory which was in transit, that impact is also reducing a little bit.
And that's what we had guided as well, right? That we are carrying extra inventory during COVID and uncertainty around shipping times. I think it's just a little bit of alignment back.
So 7-8 days improvement in finished goods holding, a few days improvement in debtors realization. So yes, there is an overall
ongoing process, but the COVID shipping is what helps us with the finished goods.
Got it.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Garvit Goyal from Invest Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
So my question is from other income side. So like you earlier mentioned, in other income, forex gains are constituting a significant part. So can you give me a number? How much is foreclosing FY23? Out of this 240 CR of other income, is the forex gain?
Out of it, there is a...
No, we have given the breakup.
Forex gain for the full year was 58 crores last year and 99 crores this year.
And you are mentioning it is likely to reverse in this FY24,
right? I was saying that at the end of Q3, our foreign exchange gain was at 75 crores, right?
Right.
In Q3, between Q2 and Q3, essentially that was the difference. Some realized, some not, because the rupee had strengthened and then weakened in that quarter. And as you would know that in the fourth quarter, January to March, rupee had strengthened, right? While the rupee had subsequently in this quarter weakened again. I mean, that I was just explaining the drastic reduction from 75 crores in third quarter to 15 crores in the fourth quarter.
Understood, sir. And sir, again on the realization side, so currently we are approximately 170,000 kind of. So, my question is on how much of this realization is the kind of permanent one, like due to the product mix only?
No, sir, you know, it's very, very difficult to give you exact maths because it is a function of several factors. One is the product mix, which is a very important factor. Second is there is always a lag of pass-through either on the increase of raw material or freight and decrease of raw material and freight. Again, the product mix variation is also very, very vast. If you see the lower end to upper end, we are talking of 80, 90 rupees all the way going to 250 rupees. Again, so you know, there are multiple sets of factors that work. We therefore generally, you know, historically we have been giving this data. Actually, internally we do as a percentage operating EBITDA, which is the best yardstick for us also. And I think that's what we have been always saying, 22 to 23% is what we have been consistently focused on. Yes, some quarters we have done better, couple of quarters we might not do as good, but over a longer period, a consistent percentage EBITDA, operating, pure operating EBITDA is what would be the best yardstick to monitor us.
Okay, understood, sir. Understood. That's it for my sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhavan Shah from Alpha Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, sir. So my question is on the volumes front. I think in the last con call, you mentioned that the guidance for FY23
sorry, was subject. Mr. Shah, sir, there's a lot of disturbance from your line.
Is that fine now?
Slightly better, but okay,
I'll hear
some phone.
Is that audible now?
Yeah. Continue.
Yeah, yeah. My question is, you know, in the last con call, I think we mentioned that the volume guidance for 23 was roughly 295 to 3 lakh tons, against which we did roughly 291,000 tons. So can you please share, I mean, what led to miss the, you know, the roughly 5,000 to 10,000 volumes for this FY23? And this will be shifted in the next fiscal or not? Because your guidance is roughly 30,000 tons, which you already, you know, shared the last con call also there, that the FY24 guidance would be roughly 30 to 40,000 tons. So this incremental 5 to 10,000 miss will be added in the FY24 numbers. Is that understanding correct or not?
The point is that this is indicative guidance. Reflecting the opportunity.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Mr. Shah, just mute your line when you're not speaking. It's possible to interrupt on the call.
There is a ringing, that ring coming in.
Sir, that's from the line of Mr. Charles.
Is it from your end or our end?
Sir, that is from the line of the participant's line, Mr. Shah.
I can hear you. Okay. So I'll just answer that question quickly. It's more indicative and directional. We sell to more than 120 countries. There is shipping involved, right? So there's always a few thousand tons that move here and there. 30,000 tons, whether we did, I guided 295, we did 291, so it will be 30 plus 34, doesn't work that way. It's only directional. So we'll do, you know, additional 30,000 tons.
Revenue recognition challenges.
Exactly.
So passing.
It's only directional. We may do 25, we may do 34. Directionally, we are saying that it looks to be headed that way next year.
Okay. Okay. And can you share the ferrochrome price for the last quarter, Q4? I think in Q3, the price was roughly 120 rupee a kg. So is that almost the same or not?
Average in that range, a little high.
Was lower, no, that it's gone to, it's difficult for us to, you know, we work with several alloys. These are all directional answers. It will be difficult for us to do. But ferrochrome, as we speak, is about 5 to 10% higher than what it was end of fourth quarter, end of third quarter.
Sure, sir. Yeah. That's all from me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhananjay Bagrodia from ASK Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. Wanted to ask you, sir, our freight cost, is it till boat or till the final customer?
It depends. For majority of the customers, it's till the final customer. But we generally do a delivered basis. But there'll be customers who wanted FOB, CIF at the port, etc. So all those combinations are possible, but largely delivered to the customer.
Okay, and maybe I missed this with all the noise going on, but just roughly, what any volume guidance you would give for the company as a whole for next year, 24?
About 30,000 tons for next year.
Okay. And any margin guidance?
20-22% is our... Yeah, 20-22% is our directional profit guidance.
And sir, lastly, just wanted to ask, when, let's say in mining or in cement, are we seeing any particular increase happening in overall capex between any of the clients we have? Because on the other side, we're not seeing so much mining growth happening in some of the commodities we track. Are you all seeing that?
No, no. So let me first clarify that our growth is more of a function of our conversion cycle getting positive in our favor, given the fact that there is a very significant headroom between the current level of penetration of ferrohydrochrome chrome vis-a-vis the current market. So assuming for a moment that, okay, so we all know that mining continues worldwide with a growth of maybe single digit, 3, 4, 5, 6%, whatever it could be. But assuming that there is no growth, even then with a current penetration of say about 25%, I have a headroom for growth for conversion, and that is what is driving our growth. So our growth is completely, we are very agnostic to the industry growth and capex cycles. Having said that, copper and gold both are very, very, you know, very bullish. Overall, the approach, as you know, in EVs and everywhere, copper is required. Gold is a commodity. Gold is a metal which is always in demand. Iron continues to be the metal which is normal growth with the overall world growth. So I think generally, as I explained, we are not very particular about the capex cycles. Having said that, we see some positive capex cycles, but our total focus is on conversion rather than those capex cycles.
Okay, sure. No, definitely. Perfect. And you said 400 crores capex over the next 2 years.
Yes, yes.
And so would working capital...
At the minimum, there could be a little higher, but this is as of now.
Sure. And would working capital be in the similar range as it is?
I think you can take it in the similar range, number of days overall.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Priyankar Biswas from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, Sanjay and Kunal bhai, on
thank you, Priyankar.
Set of numbers.
Thanks.
The first quick question is, I see some debt that you have taken all of a sudden. I mean, bit of a surprising. So
No. So that is basically, Priyankar, a working capital, foreign currency borrowings.
I think these are normal treasury operations, Priyankar.
So packing credit, those sort of things, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
Like on the balance sheet that it was just present, something like that.
Yeah, around 400.
Correct. Yeah. So cash is 3,000, you got 400, 450 of debt. So you have a net cash of whatever, right? I haven't reported gross cash, but these are treasury operations that are normal and customary at this level of working capital.
Okay, understood. Then the second part is typically in fourth quarter, your non-mining volumes tends to be quite higher. But this time what we are seeing is that the March quarter non-mining volumes are lower than December. So any
but I kept explaining every time there is no trend, you know. So I'm happy it's that way because I can now get away from that question on the fourth quarter. It does us no good to report a great fourth quarter. There's no reporting on an annual basis. You guys grill us every quarter nevertheless, right? So, I mean, it happens that way. There are so many, you know, every container is an invoice for us, and there are various, you know, what happened that quarter. You know, the concentration of customers, the delivery lead times, etc., that comes into play.
No, there is no cyclical. There is nothing cyclical about our business, so to say, really.
Also, additionally,
by a particular requirement from
we have this quarter also. See, the West has cement plant shutdowns because of winter. See, there are times when they place it in the third quarter, sometimes in the fourth quarter. So there are underlying things, but nothing that's a given saying fourth quarter will always be more. You understand?
Okay, understood. So it was merely just it used to happen like earlier. I mean, no definite trend.
Exactly. Correct.
Yeah. What I see is this time the other operating income is higher. So you explained that there was a 1% road tap received.
Exactly.
So this should continue in FY24 and 25, right?
Yeah.
So essentially by that quantum it should be higher.
Yes. As long as the policy continues.
Same policy if it continues as it
is.
Also, one more question if I can squeeze in. So, any developments in Canada or Brazil related to the anti-dumping matters?
Not really. Brazil duty will come up for review middle of this year, and it will take another year for its, you know, process. But like I said, this is something that we have to deal with. Canada is there's a well settled administrative process in place, and which we are complying with.
And our dispatches continue.
Okay, so when can we hear anything about Canada?
Sorry?
When can we hear about any updates from Canada? I mean,
we shared Canada to say we lost volume and there's a duty thing. Now it's part of all the other countries that we're doing. You know, I don't think Canada needs special attention beyond that.
And our volume growth is economically
fair on everything else that we're doing, that Canada is not a material part of our things. It's an important market. And we'll deal with it, right? Our growth cannot be contingent on things happening there. I mean, that's the mindset in which, you know, business is being structured.
Okay. Well understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Ganesh from Dhanlakshmi Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah.
Sir, I just wanted to know about the strategy of your company broadly. So when we say that lining market and the grinding market is shifting from legacy players, we are also seeing some lining, kind of composites or polymers or even ceramic-based grinding media. So how do you see our right to win in chrome-based media and lining, and how do you evaluate that currently? So this would be my first question.
I think there are two parts to the answer. One is underlying structure of the business for the courtesy to everyone else on the call, I think it will be a longer answer, and Sanjay and I can help you offline with that. Ceramic is a fringe solution, right? There is, as far as grinding media is concerned, there's forged and there's cast high chrome. We do not offer commercial third spherical medium to grind raw, you know, input feed. So today I think there will always be fringe elements, small parts here and there being used, but And they may be, you know, in that zone for many, many years or decades, right? So from a grinding media standpoint, there is no alternate material coming in. As far as mill linings are concerned, you always had the current market also uses metal, hybrids, and rubber, right? And each has its own independent silo. And, we will also have a strategy for hybrids like others may, and there's enough market for all of us to grow. I mean, today 50,000 ton capacity that we have, I think we are not too much bothered by the macro, you know, hybrid versus rubber versus steel and all of that. I mean, it's a far more layered solution that we have, where we are going and talking about increasing throughput, reduction in power and other things within the metal side, right, today. And then that's a large market for us to not really worry about those. There's no point in debating or discussing another company's strategy or another person's view over here. I mean, there is a market for hybrids and there's a market for rubber and a market for steel liners. I think we'll leave it at this for now and happy to do offline, you know, for overall strategy for the business.
And just a quick add, what solution we have in mill liners, I don't think anybody else can offer. I mean, that's the uniqueness of our solution.
Okay, sir. Got it, sir. Thank you for that. Sir, coming to the chrome-based media in particular, so how do you evaluate our current competency or current competitiveness in this market?
Now, very honestly, we believe that we have climbed up the knowledge chain quite a bit in terms of our competencies. So in cement, I think unquestionably we would be a quality leader across the globe, and the kind of solutions that we have, any type of mill, any type of equipment, we have that solution. Similarly, now in mining, with our focus on the chrome and the wear weight advantage that our product brings, plus the DP or the down process benefit that we have demonstrated, and the mill lining uniqueness of the solution, again we believe that we are a very unique company offering all these under one roof. On a very composite basis, there is Of course, there is competition. So there are companies like Megatops, they compete with us. Then on the forge side, you have the Molycops and the Elecmetal, and then on the mill lining, you have Redken and Norcast, etc. But one company having all these capabilities and also very unique benefits or solutions that we can bring on table, I think that's a very sweet spot to us, and we continue to remain very focused in taking advantage of that situation.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And my last question would be on the cash and other investments that we have in our books. So do we have any planned out any strategy for
Right now, yes, we understand there is a very decent amount of cash that we are generating and utilizing. However, having said that, significantly large capex is still on cards, and we believe that we should reach at least a significant level of penetration. Any opportunity can come across, we should be ready with any situation. So we believe that we want to remain a little more comfortable with higher level of cash, at least for maybe minimum one more year or maybe even little longer. That's our internal thought process.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aniket Mittal from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Nice. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes.
A few questions. So firstly, on the mill liner part, it seems to me that we've done about 5,000 to 6,000 tons from the new mill liner facility this year. And the plan is to go or add another 10,000 over the next 1 year. So if you could just throw some light on, you know, what lends us that visibility to ramp this up in FY24 in terms of the trials that are undertaken.
We've already shared the overall guidance. We'll add about 10,000 tons of mill lining a year. Idea is to fully utilize the plants in 4 years. You know, 50,000 rated capacity, we should be able to do between 40-45. You know, and comfortably add 10,000 tons of, you know, is the current plan. So that's all within, you know, our current utilization.
So, could you maybe just throw some light with geographies here that are we getting traction on for these ramp up in mill liners, and what is the number of sites where trials are happening?
Yeah, so there are 3 types of customers: our existing customers who has a, you know, who's where we can try and open up a relationship. Second is new customers where we are doing it with our own design. Third is with a new design, right? So there's a whole variety of these people. It's a very conservative market. People don't want to change their incumbents or existing players. The ultimate strategy is to sell more grinding media. The idea is not just to sell, you know, mill liners. So our wish list is to go to a customer where we can sell a whole solution, which is mill liners and grinding media, and offer the whole gamut of benefits that accrue by using a whole combination, right? So it's within this 3 parts, and this is to customers wherever there is mining being done. So no special focus on one geography.
So our current mix is also fairly diversified, that'd be fair to say, for the mill liners.
Current sales you're saying is also split amongst geographies, right? That's your question?
Mill liners.
Yeah, they are fairly spread. Yeah, there's no one country doing 50% sales or one customer doing 50% of that.
Fair. The second question was just to harp on the non-mill lining front, or the non-mining front. Well, you've talked about this being fairly volatile in nature, and we've seen that over the past 4 quarters. But let's say going ahead, how do we look at, let's say, the volume growth over here?
So it is not volatile. We said billing invoicing cannot be sharpened to every quarter. I mean, it moves between quarters here and there. But broadly, we've done about 90,000-95,000 tons. We don't expect a lot of growth coming in from there. So, I mean, it's linked to the cement market overall, and the thermal power in India, and these are not industries that are fundamentally growing, and most conversion has happened to chrome. So we are not factoring growth or budgeting any of that. Whatever the market grows or additional requirement comes in, will be a natural beneficiary of that.
What would be the split between, let's say, cement and utilities within this?
I don't think it will help any further analytics, because that's our pocket of, we are not sharing further granular information on it, and probably won't help any further evaluation of the business.
Okay, well, those are my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhumika Nair from Dan Capital. Please go ahead. Yeah, good evening, sir, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. My question was, you know, we're talking of an incremental 30,000 tons of volumes annually. Now, with the mining liners capacity coming up and a lot of our solutions, which are now much more like a solution-based rather than just only the castings or the grinding media and everything, so it's a kind of a complete integrated solution that we are offering. You know, I mean, we're looking at a 10% kind of a growth as such going forward. So shouldn't the actually the volume scale up be faster now that we are having a much better integrated solutions and offering now?
You are absolutely right, and that's what we are working towards, right? But there is an overriding layer of context to this industry, which is customers being conservative, right? There is a element of decision making. There are the other variables which are a strong influence, and what that does is limits our ability to forecast and give a certain figure, right? You know, if for us to go out and say 50,000 may or may not be easier. It's easier to do, but it's easier to forecast. It's difficult to forecast. So I think that's where we are coming from, that the beauty of the business is not going to be rapid J-curve growth. It's the steady stability that comes with that growth is because the customers stay, right? I don't have to go fish for, you know, that one more order, one more customer which somebody else is trying to pry away, right? That's the beauty of this business, that it could be a slower growth, but it's a surer growth, you know, throwing out reasonable free cash flow and profits. I think that's the nature of our business. I mean, the joy is not to go and say we did 100,000 tons a year, right? That is, the joy is to go become the largest in the world and whatever time and effort it takes towards that. But answering in a short, the short answer is yes, we would hope and wish that it's more, but over the experience has taught us that there is some variable that can go against us and we don't know what that is, and that's why rather than forecasting and trying to explain variance and we're saying, you know, here's what's possible. It's more directional answer, as you know. This is not, you know, a studied, you know, specific answer.
Right, you know, because where I was coming from is that we are already at 440 by the end of this year with the additional capacity coming in, and we'll be at 520, and then we are talking of also debottlenecking a little bit, which will further add capacity. And if we are adding 30,000 on an annualized basis, that would mean that, you know, utilization levels and asset turns would kind of fall quite a bit, because we would have 350 odd if I take a, you know, broadly a 30,000 tons of incremental. So,
let me stop you here. See, 30,000 is a doable number as we speak today. But as we explained, there are several mines on which we are working. There are many, many opportunities on which we are working. A significant conversion or a major conversion can ramp up the volumes much faster than what we are talking, and that is the reason why we're feeling encouraged to go on expanding our capacities. Correct? The problem is, as you have explained again and again, this conversion process, we work with several constraints. The mines, they work with a fixed budget. They need a lot of conviction. Our solution has fantastic results, and there are a lot of demonstrating facts that we have also talked to the mines. It takes a little while. Now, there would be an inflection point where we can say that, yes, we can grow much faster. We hope we should reach that inflection point sooner. And as we reach, things can change. So, but let's, as of now, let's go with this number, at least for this year. Let's not talk a very long term. Otherwise, there's no point in my expanding, no?
Sure. So the other aspect was on the, you know, margin profile. Now, obviously, you know, margin has kind of moved up, whether we look at it on a per ton or a percentage basis, etc. Now, you know, as we're expanding our volumes and, you know, driving volume growth, how is the competition? Do you think that, you know, we'll need to scale down if you want to grow volumes a little more aggressively? Or do you think that can happen hand in hand together?
No, so frankly, you know, we have to have a mix of everything. So then wherever the chrome advantage is moderate, we have to be very competitive in pricing. Wherever we want to have a breakthrough in a mine and that mine manager doesn't want to budge with his budget, we have to again be competitive. But over a period of time, we have demonstrated that for certain pockets and certain businesses where our penetration is more based on significant value add, the pricing as a stress is not the only point that really can impact us. So I would say at this point in time, a 22-odd% sustainable pure operating EBITDA is something that we are very, very sure of. There is definitely a room for improvement. But at this point in time, for the same reasons, we are not giving any guidance for any margin expansion. Having said that, there is good room for margin expansion. Let's see how it goes. You have to wait and watch.
Sure, sir. So just lastly, you know, we have about a roughly 2,500, 2,600 crores of net cash on books. And obviously every year we are generating a huge amount of free cash flow, which can easily fund working capital and capex requirements. So any thoughts on usage of cash? While we have announced a 16 rupees dividend yet, I think the cash
16.
Is quite... Yeah. So despite that, I mean, you know, there's a decent amount of cash.
No, I agree. So as I said, we have conservatively decided to have a little higher holding at least for another year. I assure you there would be, there is a very conscious and continuous discussion in every board meeting on this. And there would be at an opportune time something that we will do with extra cash. I either consider giving you back or doing, you know, something which is there. But I think let's wait for a while.
Sure, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you so much and wishing you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alisha Mahawla from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, please.
The next question is from the line of Alisha Mahawla from Envision Capital. Please go ahead. Alisha, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead. Ms. Mahawla, your line is in the talk mode. Please go ahead. There seems to be no response from the current participant. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star in one.
Yeah, operator, I think the queue is over then, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, cool. All right, thank you everyone for joining the call, and as Sanjay and I may remain available offline for any more questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management team. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and for using Chorus Call conferencing services. You may please disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a great evening.